Well, we know from the 3.8% increase in retail sales last month that Americans are spending even in the face of rising inflation. But we also know from consumer confidence numbers that they don't feel great about that rising inflation. We've talked a lot about the Federal Reserve and its coming attempts to combat it. What about the role of elsewhere in Washington? We want to bring in Senator Mike Braun to the conversation, Republican of Indiana. Senator, thank you so much for being here this morning. So as you think about inflation, I'm sure you're hearing about it from your constituents. What role can policy play when it comes to trying to address it?
So it's interesting because for the 37 years I was running the little business that I started back in the early 80s, it's now become a national distribution and a logistics company. Inflation ebbed and flowed. I came into it in the farm crisis where home mortgages were 10% in early 81, approached 20%, you know, a year or so later. There are two types of inflation, cost push when it comes to labor and materials. That's been all kind of disjointed due to policies, of course, trying to navigate through COVID. Demand pull, Milton Friedman, too many dollars chasing too few goods. We've got the perfect storm because we're getting it from both directions. When it comes to how we get through it, I go back to what was there pre-COVID. Very little inflation, maybe 1%, 2 max. That's due to the global economy that has kind of put a lid on the cost push side. Many people fear that, you know, demand issues, in other words, deflation would have been an issue. But when you do what we've done in such a short period of time from either the Keynesian side or the Friedman side of economics, it is kind of a perfect storm. So where it goes, I know it almost hit 10% on the wholesale side here in the last few days. We don't know. We're in uncharted territory. What I'm worried about mostly, in addition to inflation, is workforce. We incentivize people to stay at home. They saved money. They're working down those savings. That's part of what's really, I think, stoking the fire. So we haven't been here since the early 80s. We do know that the tough medicine was higher interest rates. That would be a fiasco now with all the debt that's embedded into the economy, especially through government.
So, Senator, I don't think I heard a what to do about it in there. I mean, we are seeing the administration try to tackle the supply chain part of it, right? Trying to alleviate some of the congestion at the ports, which, as it makes its way through the system, should help to some degree. The Fed doing its part. They've told us they are going to be raising interest rates, likely beginning in March. But is there anything else that can be done?
Not really. I mean, first of all, what we tried to engineer through government will be debriefed as really not good policy. When we were putting that out there, I was okay with it due to the uncertainty. But the magnitude, even with the extended unemployment benefit, every Republican, many of us, or not many, there's ironically just a few that have run businesses, know how hard workforce has been to get people into jobs that weren't filled pre-COVID. And that was something that is fueling that fire. So you would have to do what normally is never done on the fiscal side, is starting to pull back, even thinking about how you'd work your debt down over time. That gets dismissed through the modern monetary theory. Your options are few to rein it in. Look back to the 80s. It mostly was done through monetary policy that was very painful. The Fed said it's going to raise rates a point over the next year. I don't know that that's enough with how much we've unleashed. The Fed bought the debt, accommodated $6 trillion through the fiscal policy. It's going to be easier said than done, and that's why to avoid it is the key thing. To fix it is very tricky.
Senator, how concerned are you that when the Fed does start moving on interest rates, likely at its next meeting in March, that those efforts ultimately tip the economy into recession this year?
Well, I mean, I would be more concerned. That's inevitable. When you unleash a firestorm of inflation like that we haven't seen in decades, there's no easy medicine. And what did we do back in 81 and 2 and 3? We got interest rates down from 18 to 20% back to where they needed to be. It was painful. Reagan got through it, and thank goodness the economy started to turn. This is a big dose of nasty medicine, and with the withdrawal symptoms, especially on the fiscal side, it looks like the other side of the aisle somehow thinks that more of it might in some way fix things. I don't think they know much about economics or business in general, and it'll be somewhat of a difficult process. The only good news is we were on all cylinders, things were working, almost zero inflation, wages going up in the right places pre-COVID. I think there's going to be a reflexive motion along with the general world economy that keeps a lid on the cost push side that 2, 3, 4 years down the road will do most of the heavy lifting. Don't look to this place to do more because I think it'd be more damaging than good.
Senator, the administration has started to float a potential cut in the gas tax to deal with really inflationary prices at the pump for consumers. Would you support that?
No, because that's a Band-Aid. What we should be doing is in the short run, and I'm one of the few Republicans that talks about climate and the fact that we need to be engaged in the conversation. You can't take energy independence and start chipping away at it through Keystone XL pipeline, through not being able to explore on federal land, and just generally an atmosphere of regulation, and then go ask OPEC to produce more. That is tinkering again, where what you should have done is not made those silly decisions in the short run. The cleanest, least expensive fuel will win the day in the long run. But if China and the other big emitters aren't doing things about it, it's silly for ourselves to shoot ourselves in the foot by bad policy. So, no, that would be a Band-Aid similar to opening up the petroleum reserves. That is going to be very minor in terms of what it would do. You probably need to go back and say, hey, in the short run, we need to be energy independent so we don't have to ask OPEC to pump more.
I got to go back to the Fed for just a moment, Senator, because I have to ask about the efforts among some of your colleagues to block the process from moving forward with confirming some of the candidates to the Federal Reserve. Isn't this a particularly tricky time to try to attempt that kind of thing when we are in this raising cycle and when we are seeing this kind of inflation?
I don't think so, because the Fed clearly has said it's going to try to raise interest rates up to a point over the next year. I think you're going to find that that's probably not going to dampen inflation quite enough. But when it comes to the one nominee, Raskin, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. I don't think Jerome Powell is the issue. I think if you took her out of the equation, he's just being used as leverage to get some answers from her. And the Fed is not going to go away. They're still going to do their thing. And the fact that there's uncertainty on who the board members may be, I don't think plays much into it because they don't have a wide range of options anyway. It's either to keep interest rates where they're at. They've already said they're not going to do it. I think their biggest issue is going to be, regardless of who the board members are, is 1 point of interest rate increases going to be enough to tamp down this short-term inflation that is now going to go, I think, a little longer than what many expected it to.
Well, Senator, it's good to talk to you about these issues. Come back and see us in a couple months. We'll see what the inflation picture looks like, and we'll get an update on all of these issues. Senator Mike Braun, Republican of Indiana, thanks for being with us.